Going to be in John chapter 15 the next several weeks leading up to Easter. And as you can tell, I don't have an iPad. I don't have notes today. We get out of here about 3:30. And the reason I don't is because there are those messages that come from the heart. And this is one of those messages. This is a message that I hope that you will hear from not your pastor, though I am, not your friend, though I am, but from your fellow disciple, because I am. Church, we're all in this together. There's no hierarchy of believers at the foot of the cross. There's no one that's higher than any other. I was reading a post by Mr. Wayne Gaskins. I don't know if you know Mr. Gaskins. Excuse me just a moment. I'm probably going to need this before this is over. Mr. Gaskins organized the funeral for Dr. Billy Graham. And he posted on Facebook that many years ago, Mr. Gaskins was helping with the funeral of his brother, of Billy's brother. And Billy, in a moment when they were kind of off to the side by themselves, said, "Wayne, I don't understand all this fuss over me." And what Wayne said in that post was, "Today we say thank you, Mr. Graham. We're making all this fuss over you because of all that you did for the kingdom." But you see, there's no hierarchy of believers, and I don't believe there's anybody who believe that anymore than Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. But when you think about this passage of Scripture, there are some things that I want us to share in this Abide series, this Abide theme that we have for the year. And I just want to walk through it with you this morning, verses 1 through 5. And I just want to talk you through it. And I hope, my hope and prayer is this morning, is that you experience Jesus today like you haven't before. And I don't know about y'all, but it's warmed up in here pretty good after that worship. Amen? Amen. Chapter 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Absolutely. So where do we begin? When we talk about this passage of Scripture, let me give you a little context of when this was happening. Now, we're not sure exactly when Jesus shared this with his disciples, but we can be relative, but we know the basic circumstances that were going on. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all part of what is known as the upper room discourse. In other words, this is happening on the night that Jesus was betrayed, on the night that he began the Lord's Supper. He has gathered his disciples together for this final meal together, and he is telling them all the things that he wants to finalize with them before he is crucified the next morning. And as part of that, what he wants them to understand is that we are to abide in him. We are to rest in him. Now, last week we talked about this word abide, but I just want to remind you, in case you weren't here, the word abide in the Greek is the word meno. And it means to remain. It means to dwell. It means to take up residence in. This is not a temporary visitation. This is a permanent residence. This is a place where you rest, where you dwell, where you live. So when he says, "Abide in me," he is saying, "I want you to live in me." He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Now, originally, years ago, when I began to study this passage of Scripture, I did a bunch of, I like landscaping anyway. I like learning about different plants and how they grow. And so I spent some time studying what vine dressers do. Today we would call them husbandmen. Okay? And they are the caretakers of the vine. He says, I am the vine, and my Father, that's God the Father, is the vine dresser or the husbandman. Now, branches, which is the title of this sermon this morning, they don't produce the fruit. They just bear the fruit. They just hold the, they're where the fruit lands, if you will. But Jesus says, I am the vine. The vine is rooted into the soil, and out of the soil comes this vine, and the vine is the source of everything for the branches. The branches participate in the process, but the vine is the source of life for the branches. Apart from the vine, there can be no life. And so when we study this scripture, when Jesus says, I am the vine, he is our source. He is where life comes from. But then he gives this special attention to the Father, and he says, my Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser is so important because, you see, most of the time, the vine dresser was the owner of the vineyard. He wasn't just a hired hand. He wasn't just somebody that got called in to take care of these duties. No, he had a special interest in that vineyard, and it was up to him to caretake it, make sure it produced what he was looking for, the product he was looking for. And so when we think about God the Father, most of the time we want to see God the Father as this big God way up in the distance somewhere, and he's just waiting to mash us every time we do something wrong. That's the vision that we have, many of us have of God, is it not? But the reality is when you think of him approaching the vine, his son, the one he loves more than anything in the world, the one he created us in the image of, and he is going to manage, he's going to take care of that vine to make sure it's the most pure, it's the most fruitful. The vine, the grapes are the most sweet. They are the best for whatever purpose he declares them to be. That's a different picture of God the Father, isn't it? That's a different picture. Now I want you to hear in verse 2, he says, every branch in me. Look, you can argue with me till the cows come home this passage. You will not win. You will not change my opinion. Salvation is eternal, and we have, as believers in Christ, eternal security. You cannot, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, lose your salvation. You may never have had it, but you cannot lose it once you get it. Okay? You can't. However, we can be in the vine and not bear fruit because of problems, because of disease, because of different insects. There were branches in the vine that didn't bear fruit from outward circumstances. Do you know that a vine doesn't bear fruit until the second year? I don't know if you've been discipled by me or not, but if you've ever been in personal one-on-one discipleship with me, how long did I tell you to take? A year. You got to stick with it for a year. And then once you make it a year, you'll start to see progress. You know why? Because vines don't produce in the first year. It's the second year process. So Jesus ain't going to hammer you. He's going to let you grow. The key is growing. The growth. When a vine is young, the vine dresser will watch it come out of the ground. He pays close attention to it. And as it grows up and it gets to the wire or to the trellis, he begins to watch. And as those tendrils form, once it starts to touch the wire, he ties it off. He's wanting that vine to get to pencil strength. It's got to be pencil thickness for it to produce good grapes. And once it gets to pencil thickness, he ties it to that trellis. And then he watches, and as the little tendrils come out and they try to attach themselves, he pulls those off. He says, oh, no. You depend on me. I've tied you to the vine. You depend on where you're tied. Don't waste your strength trying to hold on to the trellis. You depend on me to hold on to the trellis. I will tie you there. I won't let you fall. Is that not good stuff this morning, church? See, we spend all our time trying to grab on, and Jesus is saying, just let me do that. I will never leave you. I will never let you go. You're tied to me. Oh, that's good. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, there are a lot of different ways to dress a vine. You can do it a lot of different ways. There are a lot of different ways to prune a vine. But what happens is the vine dresser will take that vine, and usually he turns it into a T. And he has the vine comes up, and it splits into two. And then off of those two come all the branches. And the vine dresser is so careful to prune those branches in the way that the fruit will grow and that the leaves from the branches cover the fruit and protect it from the rain. But there's not enough leaves to make sure the sunshine hits them and that the wind blows against them. You know, when a man is buying a vineyard, he places it in the perfect place so that the wind blows against the vine at the right season of the year to strengthen his vines. You know, vines don't hold their leaves forever. They lose their leaves in the winter. And they go dormant. They don't do any growing, but they're still there. And when the winds of winter blow against the vine, it strengthens the vine. Do you know that? They look for the place where the wind's just right, the soil's just right, that they get the sun in the right seasons because we're trying to produce fruit. We're not trying to produce pretty vines that look beautiful. We're trying to produce fruit. The Father is the vine dresser. He has a vested interest in each one of us. I love this part in verse 2. It says, every branch in me. That means that you're connected to the vine, that you are attached to the vine, that you are getting your life from the vine. Your source of life is the vine. Every branch in me. But then there's this interesting little thing. He says, that does not bear fruit. Now, wait a minute. If Jesus is the vine, it would seem that we would all bear fruit, right? It would seem that we would all bear fruit. But sometimes outward circumstances and whatever keep us from bearing fruit. Maybe we're this year's growth. This year's growth may not bear fruit. We may see signs of growth, but we're not yet bearing fruit because God is doing that work inside the branch, inside the vine, to eventually produce fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. We're the branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, most people, when they take a hold of this verse, they begin to think about taking away as cutting off. But that's not what the Greek word says. The Greek word used here for that branch to take away is arrow. The word arrow means to lift up, to raise up, to put back on the trellis. It means to take away from, not to cut off. It means to take away from. So, example. You have a branch. It looks like it's ready to bear fruit, but it's fallen on the ground. The husbandman just doesn't walk through the vineyard once a year to prune. No, he walks through the vineyard all the time. And when he sees a branch that's fallen on the ground, do you know what he does? He'll call one of his workers and he'll say, hey, I need you to replace. I need you to take up this vine, this branch. And you know what they'll do? They don't have machines for this. They get a bucket and a sponge. Clean water and a sponge. And they take that branch and they wash the leaves front and back. And they untangle the branch. And they make sure that branch is just like it's supposed to be. And then they raise it back up and they tie it back to the trellis. Reminds me of a verse in 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, guys, I know some of you in here right now have been absolutely through it. You might have had a tractor drove over you as a branch in the vine. The husbandman knows where you are, and he will come and raise you back up and cleanse you and put you back on the trellis. Because his number one goal is to bear fruit. And branches that can bear fruit are much too valuable to the vine dresser to ever cut them off before given the opportunity to grow and bear fruit. Don't you ever think the vine dresser gives up on you? He's never given up on anyone. He's never failed. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to what? Complete it. complete it. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He lifts up. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, this is interesting. When I was studying for this passage, and I went and I said, I like to prune bushes, okay? I don't like to mow grass. I hate mowing grass. I do. I hate it. I did it for 4 years. I don't like a leaf blower. I don't like a weed eater. I don't like a lawnmower. I will use them, but I don't want to, okay? You give me a pair of hand pruners in a quiet day and a plant that needs some work, and I am in heaven. I enjoy that. I can look back. I can look at that plant and I can begin to see where to cut and where to take. And I can shape that plant into the shape that I want it to be. And my goal when I get done is not for it to look like I've been there. I want it to look like that plant's been there for a long time, but it's the shape and size it needs to be. When Jesus is the vine, the Father is the vine dresser. He looks at his Son. He looks at the vineyard. He looks at that branch. He looks at that vine and he says, this is the shape I want it to be. And he begins to go in there and he begins to cut out all the undergrowth that's already borne fruit. He takes that away. But when he takes it away, he does it in an interesting way. Most of the time, vines are pruned by the canes. The canes are the branches. He doesn't cut the branch completely away. He leaves two buds. Two buds. You know why he leaves two buds? Because that's where the branch is going to begin to grow from again and produce more fruit next year. He's not cutting it away so that it doesn't produce fruit. He's cutting it back so that it grows, and that new growth will produce new and sweeter and more powerful fruit, and that will be the crop for this next year. Vine doesn't even produce until it's 2 years old. It's up to 7 years in a vineyard before you get a really good crop of grapes. 7 years. Isn't it interesting that it's seven? Complete. God's number complete. How many of you in here been following Jesus more than 7 years? Yeah. We've been through the pruning, haven't we? We've been through the pruning. It's still being pruned. We're going to get pruned this year. When the leaves fall off of the vine and the vine goes dormant in the winter, He doesn't prune the vine when the leaves come up, because when you cut the vine when the leaves are already sprouting and when the buds are already sprouting, the vine begins to bleed and it will lose its energy and it will die. He cuts in the winter when the vine goes dormant. You see, when the vine is not producing fruit, that's the time the vine dresser does his best work, when he establishes how the vine will look next year. When you're going through the winter, it's not that you're not producing fruit, it's that the Father is doing the pruning. Getting you ready for the next crop. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, pruning hurts. Amen? All right, when you fight against that pruning, it can hurt, right? But when we trust in the vine dresser and we know that he has the best view for the vine, not the branch. The branch bears the fruit. The vine produces the fruit. I was watching a video this past week of how some of the vine dressers prune their vines, and one of the ones showed the picture of the tendrils growing up, and he says you want to have the vines grow up so that they form a canopy. And he said what's so amazing is once the vines get outside of the trellis, they will grow together and form their own canopy to cover one another and be stability for the other. They always grow together. Church, everybody in here, stand up. We're only going to grow strong and fruitful when we grow together. We're only going to stand and grow and produce fruit when we grow together. Look across the aisle at one another. You love that person. You care about what God is producing in them because you see, we're the whole vineyard. Your branch might be doing good, but if there's a weak branch in the flock, our whole crop's going to be hurt. We got to strengthen one another. We got to reach across and grab a hold and say, I will not let you go. Me too, brother. Everybody have a seat. I will not let you go. And it's interesting to me, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He's not looking to cut away the dead. He's looking to bring out more fruit. And we're going to talk about what the fruit is next week, okay? But then in verse 3, he says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The word of God cleanses us. And what he's talking about is, you've been through it, guys, but you're cleansed. I have cleansed you. The Word of God cleanses us. The Word of the Father cleanses us. It's what establishes us and prepares us to bear fruit. We're now clean, we've been pruned, and we're ready to bear fruit. So in verse 4, he says, what does it mean you're already clean? Everything's washed away because of the Word I've spoken to you. Jesus hasn't died yet. You know that, right? But Jesus is talking, I've already completed my work. You're already clean because I've said you're clean. Because I've said I'm going to die, you're clean. Why don't we live in that? Why don't we live in that? Why don't I live in that? Remember, not your pastor preaching this morning, just a fellow disciple talking about Jesus, okay? Because this is as much for me today as it is for you. I can promise you that. Because I'm not sure if I'm being taken away or pruned or what. But I know one thing. Been through it the last few weeks. Literally Monday afternoon. This past Monday. I'm like, God, what are you doing? And you know what kept coming? Abide in me. It's not your fruit, son. It's my fruit, and I'll grow it any way I see fit. You don't produce it, you just bear it. You just bear it. And it's going to be some sweet stuff when I get done, I promise. I don't know what that looks like. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now, when you take a branch and you just set a branch off to the side, you watch that thing. Guess what it does? It withers up and dies, doesn't it? Because it's apart from its life source. Now, if Jesus never says he will cut away a branch, how does the branch get detached? When to come along and break one off? Violent storm. Branch is a little bit weak. Doesn't quite have the strength it needs. Breaks off. Another person, piece of equipment comes through. Knocks up against the vine. Breaks a branch. There's a lot of ways branches can become attached. Can be cut away, taken off. But the real reason here, remember, he's using this as an example. You and I make a decision to abide. Because we're not real branches. I mean, I got fingers. I don't have leaves. Okay? You and I play a part. All we are to do is hang in there. To stay attached. Close as I possibly can. To the vine. And when he says he will never detach me, so if I stay close, he's going to be right there with me. We can't be separated. What is it that Paul said? I'm reminded of neither height nor depth, nor power nor principalities. Nothing can separate us from the what? The love of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, not from Christ Jesus. He has love for everybody, love from the cross to the world. But for those who believe, for disciples, it's love in Christ, not from, I'm not talking about love from Him. I'm talking about love in Him. When I live in Him and He lives in me, He becomes my source for life. Neither can you bear fruit, that is, unless you abide in me. Unless you get your life from me. So many of us, we won't get dipped in Miracle-Gro. And we want to produce fruit like overnight. You know why hothouse tomatoes don't taste right? Because that's not the way a tomato was meant to grow. All right? You go look at them tomatoes at Wendy's, and they're perfectly round and they're the same size. Somebody's been jacking with the plant. That's not how you grow a tomato. My grandpa would have none of it. Right? You get those plants too close together and they take the nutrients from one another and they begin to harm one another. You got to space them just right. You look at a vineyard. Those vines, they're spaced at a certain distance. And when in the wintertime when they're pruned, ooh, I got to go. When in the wintertime when they're pruned, you know what begins to happen? They cut them away so that they're separate again. So that they'll grow back together to encourage and strengthen one another the next year. Guess what? Church, apart from the vine, we can do nothing. Apart from the vine, there is no life. And when there is no life, there is no fruit. Oh, you can hang the fake stuff up there and make it look like a vine if you want to. And we got some churches that are doing that today. There's a lot of activity in the vineyard. There's a lot of busyness and shuffling, but there's not a lot of fruit. Because when the wind blows hard, the fruit disappears. I don't know about you. I want to bear fruit. But I don't want to bear my fruit. I've seen some of my fruit. It don't do very good. As Cherry Clower would say, it's not fit for human consumption. But the fruit of the vine that the Father grows, the fruit from those branches, it's the sweetest vintage in the world. Don't you remember at the wedding in Cana of Galilee? Where do you think that wine came from? The Father's vineyard. And what did He say to the head waiter? What did the head waiter say to the groom? Why have you waited till now to bring out the good stuff, man? See, I want to be a part of the Father's vintage. Don't you? I want to bear His fruit because it's the best fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Let's get this straight, Jesus is saying. He said this now several times. He's trying to make a point. It's not up to you to do the work of producing the fruit. It is up to you to do the work of bearing the fruit that I produce and to deal with the bearing of the fruit the way I do it. The way the Father dresses your vine. He's not going to dress Peter's vine the way He dresses John's branch. He's not going to prune them the same way because He's looking for different things, but He's producing the same fruit. Just different branches. I can't compare myself to you and you can't compare yourself to me because we're different branches. But what we can compare is the fruit because the fruit's all the same. There's only one vine, there's only one source of life, and there's only one fruit that comes from the Father. So we ought to be able to manage ourselves by fruit inspecting one another. Ever bit into a bad orange? You know right away it's not a good orange, right? Or have an apple, beautiful on the outside, bite into that thing, rotten to the core, right? You know right away when you see bad fruit. Well, let's just look at us as a branch. Look at your individual branch this morning. What kind of fruit are you seeing? Wait a minute, maybe there's not fruit. Oh, hold up. Then we got to have another conversation. But that's okay. Because see, the husbandman knows what branches are producing, when they're supposed to produce, how they're going to produce, and what that's going to look like. A good vine dresser can take a vine that's completely empty in the wintertime after he's pruned it, and he can see what the vine will look like with fruit on it, hanging on the trellises. Standing there pruning the vine in the wintertime when the vine is dormant, nothing's going on, and he's pruning it. And in his mind's eye, he sees the branches full of fruit hanging just in the right place to make it easy for his workers to come and harvest. See, he's not planning for today. He's pruning for tomorrow. He's not expecting fruit today. But he expects fruit tomorrow after the pruning is done in the right season. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You might say you can do nothing of eternal significance there. I heard a guy use that phrase this week and I liked it. Nothing of eternal significance. Everything is temporary that we can sustain. But what the life that comes from the vine produces eternal fruit. Remember, he's never going to cut you away. He might take you up. He might prune you back. He's never going to take you away. Never going to cut you away. It's not up to us to produce the fruit. It's up to us to be the branch that depends on the vine for life and on the vine dresser to care for us. What does the branch do? It just hangs there. Fully dependent on the vine and the vine dresser. See, we not only live through Jesus Christ, we live in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus lives in us, and it says that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter how much, I don't care if you that much, that little bit, he's in you. He lives in you. Right? He's there. So if he lives in us, why don't we depend on him to live through us? If Jesus lives in us, then his love lives in us. It abides in us. It remains in us. His love remains, abides in us. If his love abides in us, then why don't we allow his love to live through us? And if Jesus lives in us and loves in us, then he leads us where he wants us to go. He leads in us from his position as the source of life. He leads us where he wants us to go. Why don't we depend on him instead of trying to force our own way? So as we abide in the vine, then we are to do three things. Live in him. Accept him as your source of life. Quit trying to look for all the outside sources. There is no Miracle-Gro in making disciples or becoming a disciple. There is no Miracle-Gro. There is miracle fruit. Jesus produces the growth at his pace, at his time, as it is best for that branch. Don't try to force it. Allow it to happen. It will happen fast. Watch pot never boils, remember? Right? I did that to a thing of tea the other day. Sat there and nothing. I walked away for a second and come back and the thing is almost boiling over the stove. Why didn't you do that when I was standing there, right? You can't force it to happen, but you can allow it to happen as you love Jesus, as you abide in him. Let me tell you what has never not happened to someone who loved Jesus and remained in him. They've never not yet borne fruit. Never. Can't happen. Because he's the vine and the Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you. The key for living, church, is right there in front of us. Abide in me and I in you. If we could just get that, how much more relaxed would we be? How much more stress-free would we be? How much more worry-free would we be if we would just rest in the vine, knowing that he is going to produce the fruit in us that we need? And then lastly today, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I was watching a video this week about this very verse, some teaching that I had. And the guy said this. He said, you know, I went and looked up the word nothing in Greek. You know what it means? Nothing. Means nothing. It means empty. It means void. It means blank. It means nothing. Apart from him, church, we can do nothing. Everything that we could do apart from him is temporary. It's made of wood, hay, and stubble, and one day it will be burned away. But everything that comes from him as the source of life, from the vine, out through the branch to be born in us, that is eternal fruit that will remain forever. What kind of fruit you want to bear? Eternal or temporary? I don't know about you, but I'm more for the eternal vintage. Amen. We today, you today, decide. Decide, branches. I'm going to abide in him. Now maybe there's some external circumstances in your life that you feel like are keeping you from being able to abide in him. You know what the branch does when he recognizes that? He comes right down here in a vine dresser, does everything necessary to cleanse that branch. That can be done at the altar today. Whatever's going on in your life that would keep you from bearing the fruit that comes from the vine, you can deal with that. You can leave this place clean, branch, today. Established and ready to begin the growth process that will lead to fruit in your life. But you got to come clean. Maybe today you've been following Jesus for a while and your branch looks a little bit unruly. Needs a little pruning, but you've been resisting the pruning. And your fruit over time has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker because you have resisted the master's pruning. You can deal with that today right here at the altar. But the decision for you and I today is to abide. Because there is no life outside of the vine. It's either live or die. That's the choice. And as disciples of Christ, we are called as his people to bear fruit. That means we live. That means we live. So may it be our decision today to abide in Christ and he in us, that we might live and bear fruit and bring glory to his name forever. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the truth of your scripture from John 15 to abide in the vine. Lord, today forgive us for thinking that we're the vine, that in us there's some source of life that we have in us. Forgive us today for living our lives as though we were some most important and pushing you aside and expecting you to do all this stuff for us instead of doing what only you can do in us. Forgive us. and establish us today as branches in the vine. You are the vine. You are the most important. You are the source. You are the subject of life. You are the giver and the sustainer of life, and not only life in this world, but life eternal. And so, Father, today we give ourselves to you as branches of the vine, and we ask that you would produce in us the fruit that you desire for us, that the world might know that the vine is alive and well, and that the vintage is sweet. Come what may in the circumstances of the world, the vintage from the vine is sweet and strong and pure, because it comes from the one true vine. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the vine dresser, and we know that you have our whole life played out in front of you, and you see the end from the beginning. You know what the branch is supposed to look like when all is said and done. And so, Father, forgive us for not resting in you and allowing you to do that work in us and to work on us and to prune us and shape us into the people that you want us to be, into the followers that you want us to be. Forgive us today and restore our relationship to the vine, that we might be fruitful and multiply throughout your kingdom. And Father, today we know that some of us, we're attached to the vine, but circumstances of life have kind of weakened the branch. And God, today we submit our lives to you for the pruning that you need to do to remove those weak places, that we might become strong and vital and life might flow through us and produce your fruit in our season. So for those of us today, Lord, who are dealing with the results of the pruning, protect us, hold us close, so that we can produce the fruit that you need, that you want, that you desire from your branches that comes from your vine. Lord, maybe there's one here today who they know, if they stop and think about it, they're not attached to the vine. They've been living for themselves for their whole life. And they realize today, no wonder I'm weak and tired and broken. It's because I've not been attached to the source of life, not been attached to the vine. And maybe for the first time today, they recognize their need for you as their Savior, as their source of life, not only today, but every day and for eternity. Lord, may today be the day that they would give their life to you and become attached to the vine eternally, that they might see themselves become the fruit-bearing, fruit-producing branch that you desire them to be. Lord, whatever the need, whatever the circumstance, you are the vine dresser. Do in us what need be done, that the vintage we produce might be sweet and eternal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whatever you need to deal with today,